morning, once again, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I encourage you to keep your worship bulletins handy, and if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be glad to get something to you. This morning, by a show of hands, how many of you would say you've had an experience where the ordinary somehow transformed into the extraordinary or the unexpected? You ever had that situation happen in your life? Yeah? Nobody? Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. There we are. Okay. Sometimes we have those conversations that we assume are going to be just simple, straightforward, but then something happens and it goes in a different direction and it becomes the extraordinary. Maybe that's been your experience. Maybe you're sitting at home at night and all of a sudden the phone rings and you're thinking, is this another phone call, just another telemarketer, just another family member? But then you pick up the phone and you put it to your ear and the voice takes you into a place you did not expect. And the ordinary quickly becomes the extraordinary. Maybe you find yourself running an errand, going to a get-together, going to see family, running an errand, whatever it might be, and you thought it was just another same old kind of situation. But in the blink of an eye, something happened, and it transformed from the ordinary into the extraordinary. I share that with you this morning because that's exactly what happened to a Christ follower by the name of Philip, who we heard about in our second reading today from Acts chapter 8. Philip, you might recall from 3 weeks ago as we've been tracking along with our AD sermon series, looking at the life of the early church in the book of Acts, the first through 10th chapters, we saw how Philip has had this happen to him on a couple different occasions before. But before we get too far, let's do a quick 5-second recap. In Acts chapter 8, we learn that there's a lot of heavy persecution going on in the lives of the early Christ followers, especially at the hands of a man by the name of Saul. Saul, who would go around and pull out men, women, and children from their homes and persecute them for their faith in Jesus. It was in the context of this persecution that the Christians, men, women, and children, are scattering everywhere, left, right, north, south, east, west, all over the map. And one of those scattered seeds is a guy by the name of Philip. And just as it is with these other Christ followers, everywhere they went, that's where the gospel went. Everywhere Peter, James, John, and the crew went, that's where the gospel went. And everywhere that Philip went, that's where the gospel went. In Acts chapter 8, verse 5, we read this: Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. Perhaps you can recall how the Jews and the Samaritans were not best buds. They weren't following each other on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or social media or anything else. They wanted nothing to do with each other, but that's exactly where God planted Philip to share the gospel message. And in this situation, you might recall this from a few weeks ago. In a number of different ways, this was the situation that was facing Philip. He could go one of two ways. He could go the easy way, which essentially and effectively allows him to bypass any obstacle, any resistance, any pushback, any struggle, any challenge to an agenda. Or he could go the hard way. And where does the hard way go? You tell me. What's it say up there? The Jesus moment. And what is that? That's the place where someone gets to know just a little bit more about Jesus. On the heels of this groundbreaking, cutting-edge ministry, God has another assignment for Philip, and it's probably not what he expected, and it's probably not what we expected. Today, as we take a look at our sermon video here in a minute, I'm going to challenge you to consider for your own lives those places the Lord is calling you to go that you may not expect, but in God's economy, where he wants to transform the ordinary into the extraordinary. Let's take a look at our sermon video.
The future of Judea is uncertain, but I bring you God's message. salvation will be found in the name of Jesus Christ.
Philip.
Philip. What brings you here? I thought you'd be in Jerusalem. I was coming back to be with you all. You've been doing so well. Your work in Samaria. Many more have come to Jesus.
But how can I ignore Jerusalem? It's our home. It's the center of everything.
Jesus told us to spread his word to the ends of the earth. Your work is vital.
So what should I do now?
Go to the south. To the desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza.
We should go. Right now.
Go where?
The Gaza Road.
What are you talking about?
You didn't see the angel.
Go. Do as the angel commanded. And I'll press on towards Joppa.
In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, we hear this. Right on the heels of this life-changing, cutting-edge gospel work that Philip's been doing in the area of Samaria, this is what happens. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. Philip was both available to the Lord's work and attentive to the direction the Lord was pointing him towards. Once again, we remember how Philip is out in Samaria. He's out and about, and he's doing some great work. And we heard it in our video today once again. When the rest of the early disciples and the church hear about what he's doing, they're amazed because they're learning that the gospel is not just for one group of people. It's for the entire world. And when Peter and Philip meet up, it's a good conversation. It's exciting. But God has another assignment for him. And I don't know if you caught this, but in the early portion of our second reading for today, God calls him to a place that he may not have expected to go. A dirty, dusty, hot desert road. But it's not about Philip. It's not about Philip's agenda. It's not about Philip's map. It's not about Philip's kingdom. It's about the Lord's. Glamour or no glamour, populated or deserted, well-traveled or not traveled quite enough, it's for the Lord to direct. Friends, let me ask you this morning. How would you rate your availability and your attentiveness to the Lord and his work in your life? This past week, as I was thinking about this for myself, I have to admit, there's a lot of times where I put Seth before I put Jesus. There's a lot of times where I put my schedule before time with the Lord. There's time where I put my kingdom before God's kingdom. There's times where I put what I want before what the Lord wants. And sometimes, maybe just sometimes, I sidestep those desert roads in the interest of looking for something more glamorous. What about you? What about those conversations that the Lord is setting before you? What about those visits the Lord has put on your schedule for this coming month? What about those ministry activities that the Lord is setting before us as the body of Christ? that may resemble a desert road, but nonetheless, it leads to somebody knowing just a little bit more about Jesus Christ. Where does this message find you this morning? Verse 30, we hear this. Let me replay this for you once again. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. Once again, God working through Philip's life puts him in the right place at just the right time with just the right person. For all Philip knew, God was calling him to go to a bustling metropolis with all kinds of people, all kinds of roads, all kinds of buildings, all kinds of businesses. To go from small town Nebraska to Chicago, big place, right? But did you notice how God calls him to the one-on-one conversation? Friends, how oftentimes do we discount those one-on-one conversations? How oftentimes do we discount those one-on-one opportunities that God is giving to us to cultivate a relationship where someone gets to see and hear more about Jesus through you and me? We see this. In a lot of ways, it's one of the toughest things to do, but it's one of the most simple, is it not? Philip and the man from Ethiopia, they had a conversation about Jesus. How have your conversations been recently? Verse 35, and this is right on the heels of Philip getting a better understanding of what the Ethiopian man is reading from Isaiah chapter 53. This is what we hear. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture from Isaiah and told him the good news about Jesus, about the work on the cross that Jesus had done for him, about the ways in which Jesus, through his death and resurrection, had removed the barriers that would otherwise keep you and me away from paradise because of our sins. Philip had a chance to have a conversation about Jesus. Are you telling me once again, where did the Lord call Philip to go? A desert road. How many of you want a summer vacation there? Yeah? That's what I thought. We pass by the desert roads, don't we? We pass by those things that we label as unimportant and just ordinary, don't we? If we have the opportunity to go to a boring movie or an exciting movie, which one do we go to? Exciting. If we have the opportunity to have the same old, or something exciting and extravagant, which one do we go towards? You know it, and so do I. But sometimes, just sometimes, these are the places God calls his people to go. Of course, a lot could be said for what can happen in a basic stable, in a manger. A lot can be said for what can happen on a couple pieces of wood fashioned together to punish others. A lot can be said for what can happen in an etched out, carved out piece of rock. Your hope and mine. God takes the otherwise seemingly ordinary and can transform it, and does transform it into the extraordinary. Do you see it? Do you see it in your life? What is that place, that relationship, that conversation, that moment in your life that you've labeled already as ordinary, boring, plain, nothing there? But maybe, just maybe, God is on the cusp of doing something great. And right now, he's just calling you to be faithful. Where is that place for you? Let me take this one step closer to home today for us. What if God calls us to a plot of ground located between Lima and Coldwater, just north of DuPont? What if God calls us to a plot of ground that's a flat, open, grassy space, right in the middle of neighborhoods, people going this way, that way, north, south, east, and west, on their own routes, with their own schedules and their own agendas? Just maybe, God is calling us to this green space to have a conversation with somebody who needs to hear about Jesus. Next Sunday, we're going to have an opportunity to go out to a place that we might otherwise just write off as a flat green plot outside. And maybe, just maybe, as we go out next Sunday for our church picnic and our salute to military servicemen and women and first responders, maybe, just maybe, God will plant someone there that he wants you and me to have a conversation with. Just like that man from Ethiopia. Do I know who's coming? No. Will people be there? I'm hoping. And when they come, so does the opportunity for a conversation that points them to Jesus. And if that's not enough for you, then let me tell you about another opportunity that we have. On Friday the 30th, this year, for the first time ever, Praise Lutheran will be offering a Screen on the Green ministry, an outdoor dinner and movie night series, once a month for the next 3 months. And as we go outside to that otherwise seemingly ordinary flat green space, God will bring people to this campus. God will gather them around round tables, just like the ones in the back of the fellowship hall there. And God will set somebody before you, along with an opportunity to have a conversation that points them back to Jesus. See, friends, I truly believe that in this community, in your workplace, in your families, as well as mine, there are people who are sitting there, not in their chariot, but maybe in their car, maybe in their place of work, maybe in their home. And maybe they're not reading a scroll, but maybe they're reading their iPad, maybe they're reading their Kindle, maybe they're reading their Nook, or maybe they're trying to process something they just don't understand. Maybe they're trying to process what hope actually looks like. And it's in that place that you and I have the opportunity to have a conversation, just as Philip did, to talk about Jesus. So here's my question to you. Are you ready to have that conversation about Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that we are never in shortage of opportunities to have conversations about your son, Jesus. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for the times where we discount those opportunities that we so oftentimes write off as mundane, boring, ordinary, while we try to scan the horizon for something much more glamorous and exciting. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for those times when we discount those opportunities that you're setting before us to have a conversation with someone else about Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you're setting before us as a congregation to do just that, to have a conversation about Jesus. Lord, we trust and we hope and we pray and we believe that you will transform parts of our campus as well as parts of our lives to be those places where people get to see and hear more about Jesus through us. And we may not be unpacking Isaiah chapter 53 or Acts chapter 8, but maybe, just maybe, we're helping someone understand more about Jesus through what we do and through what we say. So we ask that you would ready us for those moments, Lord, both individually and as your church. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. This time our service, I'm